Hey guys, it's Jennifer from the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 436. We have got our co-host tonight, Greg Cannon, with us. How's it going, Greg?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Just got back from the MPA Spring Shootout and relaxing now.
Fun. We lost our other co-host. He like had to do his real job or something. He's not going to make it tonight, or he may jump on late, but I don't think he's going to make it because, the real jobs interfere sometimes. So we actually have to report to work. But the people that everyone really wants to hear from tonight, we are going to talk about the PRO Rimfire series, or Pro Rimfire series, which is the Precision Rimfire Outlaws. And we have Shane Scott and Tom Batrick. How's it going?
Good, how are you? Thanks for having us on.
Very good.
No problem. Well, for anybody that doesn't know y'all, we usually start and, just go one at a time with you telling us a little bit about your background, how you got into shooting, and what you are currently doing within the sport.
Tom, let's start with you. You're kind of the OG of rimfire shooting here in Montana, so.
Just call me an old guy. Okay, fine. I started out doing Steel Challenge. Kind of dabbled in a little bit of USPSA type stuff. Then I went to a little bit of three gun. At a centerfire long range match, I got introduced to rimfire stuff by one of my local shooters in Montana, Fred Pico. And it really clicked with me. So September 15th of 2015, I held the first, we called it the Center Montana Shooting Complex Rimfire Challenge. And this September, it's coming up on what, 12 years or something like that, 13 years. Had a lot of influence over other shooters that have come down, the guys out of Glasgow, Shane, Will Walton out of Billings. They blame me for a lot of their bad habits right now.
He's
I
our like
own it.
our drug dealer essentially. He got us all into this rimfire sport. He's kind of like everyone calls him like the OG of like rimfire here in Montana because he kind of is the first guy to go down that rabbit hole, and it's dragged in like now five clubs. So it's yeah.
And one of the biggest things is the success of this is everybody's success, not just mine as being the guy that threw something together back in 2015. Shane's run away with it. This whole pro series is just phenomenal to sit back and watch. I'm just happy to be part of it. That's all I got. Shane?
So how I got in the sport is actually kind of crazy. I never touched a gun in my life. Hate to say it, I'm a
California.
dirty Californian. I moved to Montana in 2014, never fired a gun in my life. And I was doing IT, which that's currently my job. And a buddy of mine asked me to come to a shooting range board meeting to help him with a PowerPoint about this new NRL 22 club he wanted to get started. So his name is Will Walton. He had me go. I had no idea. I just made a PowerPoint. I was like, sure. And from there on, it kind of developed into doing some monthly NRL stuff. We slowly wanted to make our own courses of fire, so we kind of merged into our own thing, reached out and found, Tom and Kyle and a bunch of the people in the state of Montana who were doing this already, who are doing NRL or has merged away or went away from the NRL and doing other things. And it kind of just blew up from there. But yeah, like I had no business being in the sport. I mean, I borrowed my guns. Like I went to my first match. I think I got like three impacts. My gun wasn't even zeroed. I was borrowing someone else's rifle. Like it was bad. It was actually at Tom's match. And but it started this whole entire, addiction, I guess now. And now it's turned into what we started the PRO series. And yeah, it's pretty crazy. How time flies and how fast things have grown with this sport. So,
That's funny. It's like a drug, you get exposed and then all of a sudden you're addicted.
that's literally what
That's
Thomas said from day one.
So
It
tell
is. The first
them.
one's on me.
Yeah, the first one's on you. That's right. Like a drug dealer. Oh, just taste this.
The
Come to
first
your
one's on me.
match.
You always shoot your first match. No charge. After that, you're hooked. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's so true. Started with a CZ and or actually a 10/22, then a CZ, and then now multiple custom Voodoos, Remixes. I have multiple Remixes. One's at Modicam right now. I mean, it's gone down the rabbit hole hard. So, yeah,
That is
thanks, Tom. Appreciate this.
I'm here, buddy.
so tell us a little bit more about the Pro Rimfire series. That's kind of why we're here to talk about it. led y'all to start your own series, and tell us kind of a little bit about it, how it got started.
So I'm going to start that.
So when I started this, I was on my own. I was doing my own thing. NRL came around. It's like, hey, this is kind of cool. It's something that actually has structure and everything. It didn't work for me. It didn't work for our shooters. And we had signed up a club and everything, and none of us just fell into it. So we went back to doing our own thing, and Shane became involved, and we got Glasgow involved. And that was the big, I don't want to say selling point, but that was the big thing, that all the match directors got to choose what they wanted to do, however they wanted to run it. You know, me and Shane were talking about everything. It's them taking their own ownership of their own matches. And it's grown. It really has. And Shane's been one of the biggest people behind this. He's heard me say as many times I would all to him. I'm just a guy that just flipped the switch at the beginning, kind of.
Yes, I think that's kind of the biggest point to make, is our series is basically designed for a club who wants to be affiliated with the NRL, affiliated with the PRS, maybe none, maybe a completely different outlaw series. Yep. They can do whatever they want. Essentially, all we ask is you to submit your scores to us. We don't really have any minimum requirements, obviously, besides, like, you know, got to be 22 rimfire or air rifle. We follow kind of the same rules as the PRS and NRL when it comes to air rifle stuff. But other than that, like, you can host 5 stages, 6 stages, 8 stages, whatever you want to do. And that's kind of where it all started. And it's, there's definitely, at least what I've seen, is there's a big need for that. You know, I'm a big NRLX shooter. I shoot all the time. I still shoot, you know, NRL monthly course fires from time to time. I understand the purpose of what they're doing. It is definitely needed in the sport, but our series is basically just another tool for a match director, essentially, to basically do what they want, submit scores to us. We also have a championship match we do every year. And yeah, shooters can go to our website and look at their club level of where they stand locally. They can see where they stand across the whole series. So it just is another tool, and in my opinion, it's not meant to replace really anything. It's more, at this point, just another tool for match directors.
And he said a lot of it also had to do with distance for you guys as well, right?
Yes. So me and Tom are both in Montana. So originally the pro, or PRO or pro series, we originally started as the PRO or pro 406. So we were just Montana has one area code, 406. So that's what we started as. We were just three clubs in Montana, and we kind of grew a little bit, because going to Tom's matches 2 hours away, Glasgow for me is like 4 or 5. So we kind of had no other options. My closest X match was Ruth and Justin's X matches in Minnesota. I mean, that's like 10 hours for me. That was the closest one for me to go to. So that's actually my first X match ever. I went to one of their Halloween night matches. I've been hooked ever since. I'm bummed Ruth is in here. I'm bummed that she stopped doing it. I'm mad at her for that, because that night match was so much fun. We actually hosted a night match, Halloween night match, because they didn't it this year. So we hosted ours, a half day, half night NRLX match called the Halloween Havoc. And it was a blast. But yeah, that got me hooked. I mean, that was my first taste of a big national match. Got my butt whooped, but it was so much fun, and it started this whole experience of now traveling to NRL Nationals, trying to go to PRS Nationals. And, you know, it's just, this is awesome. The sport, this whole community is awesome. I'm just so happy you guys, sorry, but you guys had Ruth and Justin on last week, and it was so cool to have them on as well. So you guys cover worlds. Like, this sport is just growing so fast. This PRS centerfire, PRS rimfire, or rimfire is just growing to the point where I want to see it almost big. I don't think it ever will be, but I think I want to see it bigger than the 3-gun. I want to see it just, anyone can go grab a rifle and do this sport. It is just so fun.
So what, geographically, where all do y'all have clubs now? You said it started just in Montana. Has it gone outside of Montana now?
Oh, yeah.
How far is
it? So it started as 3 clubs in Montana. We have now 24 clubs across the country, from Idaho to Minnesota to Kansas to Colorado and everything in between. We just had 3 clubs in Iowa reach out to us. They're joining. I mean, it's just blown up. I mean, every year we've basically doubled. So we started in 2020 with 3 clubs, and yeah, it's just basically just every year is doubled on top of that. So it's crazy. I'm blown away from how many people have joined the series. We're over 500 members now. So it's awesome.
So what separates the Pro Series from... Oh, hold on.
No, nope, there you go. There's our map.
Show that and then we'll...
Yeah, talk. I'm a little slow. I just figured out we can keep talking, but if you're wondering what their membership looks like or where their clubs are,
there's... We need more Idaho and Utah clubs. We got none in Utah. Tell them Boyd Linder.
We need more Western Montana clubs too.
I think y'all need some in the South clubs because those all look like it would be cold.
It is cold. We've had some really cold matches up here. We personally in Billions, I think our coldest match was like probably negative 10, but the Glasgow guys in Glasgow, Montana, holy cow, they have shot in like negative 30 24. With a wind chill. Yeah, they're... you see pictures of their matches and they look straight up just, you can't see anything besides eyeballs and a rifle.
I cannot guarantee you much, but I can guarantee you three things in life. Death, taxes, and if it's below zero, Jen will still be in her bed. I will not be outside at a match. There is not enough heated vests, heated socks. There's not enough. I would need a heated bubble.
But listen, at NRL Nationals this year, the humidity, like, I can't deal with that. That kicked my butt. I was going through like four shirts a day, just constantly changing shirts, sweating through shirts. I can't do humidity. So
you just drink more water.
That's cool. My whole face was in the coolers there. It didn't do anything different. So I will take my freezing cold over humidity any day of the week. I could put more clothes on. I can't take enough clothes off at Nationals, I'll tell you that.
See, the thing is, the shirt's supposed to be wet because it cools you.
Ah, that's okay. Right. Not like a, you know, like a, what do they call them? Like a scuba suit or a wetsuit. Yeah, no, just completely sticks to your body. Ugh, hated
you
that.
You don't have to worry about drinking water. Just go through osmosis from the humidity.
That's right. I know. Well, other than the cold weather, what separates the Pro Series from the other leagues that are out there?
I would honestly just say that we give the freedom back to the to the match directors. So we let them do whatever course fire they want. Two, it's 100% free series. So we don't charge score submission fees. We don't charge club affiliation fees. We don't charge membership fees. It's 100% free. Again, it's basically ran as, you know, by shooters for shooters. We put this on just as volunteers. And every year, I mean, we make our money to put on, to do the website and everything else from the championship match. And we've basically broken even every year. If not, I think a couple of years ago, we made like $600 and donated that to a match to pay for all the youth entry fees for a charity match. And one year we bought tablets for a club that was struggling and couldn't afford new tablets for a practice score. I mean, we basically break even every year. That's kind of our goal. We're not doing this to make money. We're doing this just to keep the sport going and bring shooting up here. There was a big empty pocket up here for the most part. If you looked at the NRL or PRS map up here in Montana and kind of this region, there wasn't much. So hoping get more people involved, get more clubs going. You know, if they decide to join the NRL and PRS as well, that's just filling in the gap, essentially. So just providing another platform.
Greg, I think there was a live question.
There was. Ruth was asking, Shane, is that your dry fire support bag down there on the ground next to your barricade?
The big one. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah, that's it's inside the NRL rules, right? Can I use that championship this year, Ruth?
It looks like what Boyd would use.
It's the size of a volleyball, it looks like. Just kind of shrink it down a little bit.
I really don't support, so I'll go with that.
Just bring that on a stage and just plop it down, shoot everything off of that. Cover the whole prop.
Are there any bag size restrictions in the PRO series?
So no. We basically let the match directors do what they want. So if a match director essentially is following the NRO rules, they follow the NRO rules. If they're following PRS rules, they follow that. If they want to do whatever they want, they're more than welcome to. Again, we don't really have any restrictions, but on top of that, we're keeping everything localized. So it's not like, hey, in Billings, Montana, you're being ranked, your scores that month are competing against someone in Minnesota. It's not, it's all just localized. So we do have something that kind of makes us different, I guess, not so much anymore, but we originally started with a class-based system. So kind of like the NRL has a class-based system. We've had that for a couple years now. And that's kind of what we originally started with, was We were a class-based, skill-based class system based off of your percentage you shoot at a match. That's basically what, after so many matches, that's what class you'll be put in. And then, so you're not competing against, you know, it's not like you're going to a match and you're going to get maybe in the bottom half and it's a little discouraging. This is, we started that. So essentially that you'd be shooting against people at your own skill level. So we started your that peers. Back in like, yep. We started back in 2020, right at the end of 2020, I think 2021, beginning of 2021 season. So yeah, we've been doing that for a while. And I think it's just a great concept, having a classification system. Happy the NRL has done that now. It honestly, I think, really benefits the shooters a lot. You know, going to a match and getting 40th and maybe you're not a high-end shooter, you do it just for fun. It is nice to know that you're not just shooting against the Tyler Orths or the, you know, Jason Andersons and Justin Carbones and all those amazing shooters. So, you know, if you're a B-class shooter, you're shooting against the Bs, and there's nothing wrong with that. So we do trophies for all of our championship match for all the classes. And yeah, so it's fun. It's a good time.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that kind of skill-based competition. It just gives, you know, what is there for you that you can, I mean, I guess you could be like, my goal is to hit this percentile or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a really cool, more easily attainable goal to be like, I'm going to, you know, win my class. I'm going to, you know, bump up to the next class by the next season. You know, just something to strive for versus like, you know, all right, I want to hit, you know, 50%. I want to hit.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I mean, I've been shooting Rimfire for quite a, you know, again, since probably 2020 now, but I just got into centerfire training not too long ago. So like I classed in B class for centerfire. So my goal was to win a B class, and that trophy behind me here, I won a B class regional match in a series out here called the WPR. So that was awesome for me. Like that was my goal. I knew I wasn't going to win the match, but I was really striving for a first place in my class. And you know, that's where I'm at. And it's just, I think it just incentivizes people to keep pushing and not just get discouraged that you didn't place, you know, first or first through third or whatever. So mm-hmm. Yeah, podium.
So what sort of growth have you guys seen in the series as of somewhat recently?
A lot. Like I said, we basically just doubled in size every year. We started with our championship match back in 2020 with like 34 shooters, something not
34
much.
34 shooters.
Yep. And our original concept was we have two seasons a year, one in the winter, one in the summer. So if you were in hunting season and it took up most of your shooting time, you didn't have to compete that season. So our very first championship was in February, and it like was perfect weather and then just dumped snow halfway through. It was very interesting. So yeah, it and then from there on it just got bigger. I think we had, how many shooters we have when you hosted the championship, Tom?
I think it was like 68.
Yep. And then last year we hit 100 shooters, and we 111. Increased, yep, and we increased it to 110. I think we ended up having 111. We capped it at 111 and we had a wait list. And then this year we're doing a 2-day championship capped at 200 shooters. So, and that was actually voted upon by the members too. I kind of was hesitant to do a 2-day match. I didn't think we would have the shooters in our series. I didn't think would want that. And it was like 75 or 80% wanted it. I mean, it was crazy that some people want to do a 2-day. So I'm very excited for that to put on a 2-day championship. So
yeah, I think 2 days always kind of bring it to the next level, you know?
Oh, it's, I got my butt whooped at NRL Nationals this year. It was my first 2-day match. And there's a big difference from, you know, I've gotten like second NRLX match. I've gotten like fifth, I think, at Ruth and Justin's night match. And so I've done decent, but going to a 2-day and being like, we have to do this again tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on a second, I'm not prepared for this. So yeah. Yeah, it's,
I think the 2-day matches are good for the sport and for the social aspect of it, right? Because you go, even if you live close, you gotta be there 2 days in a row. You know, you usually spend the night in a hotel, so then you're like getting Airbnbs with other shooters, or hey, let's go grab dinner before you go crash. And it, you know, where one day is a lot of people, as soon as it's over, they're like heading home because they don't want to have to get a hotel, which is understandable. But to me, the 2 days are a lot more.
It's a lot more of a social event.
Yeah, you make
100%.
more
Exactly.
friends, and I think it's good for the sport for everybody to be able to mingle and have a good time that way.
Oh yeah, I mean that was nationals this year. It was like, yes, we shot during the day, but as soon as the guns were put away, I mean, Jay, I stayed in the house with Mark Pulver, Jason Nedved, Tyler Orth, Brody Hetland. So we had like this big house that was not too far from the range. And then Greg Roman and the Voodoo guys came over and we all just hung out. We were big Formula One guys. So we were watching Formula One and seeing what's going on while we were shooting. So just it turns into a big social event and it's really cool. I mean, yes, you're shooting and you're there to compete, but as soon as the guns away, it just becomes a fun hangout session.
Social
It was a really
networking
good
more
time.
than anything else.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely, yeah.
See, there was a question in the chat,
On
if you
mute.
don't mind, from Jeremy. He was asking about interest in the sport and is asking about stage requirements. So we did say that already, but I'll answer that again. If you're hosting an NRL monthly course of fire and you want to be part of the series, more than welcome to. You can host the NRL Monthly Course of Fire and submit that to us. If you do NRL Monthly Course of Fire plus a couple of bonus stages, one, two, whatever, same thing. Just submit whatever you do. Quite a bit of our clubs, I would say almost probably 30, 40% of them are NRL clubs. So same concept. They host their NRL Monthly Course of Fire, submit those 5 to the NRL, and then do a couple extra bonus stages and submit all of them to us. And it goes up on the website. Again, it's all centralized to your location. So it's not like you're competing against everyone from all over the place. So correct. Yep. And Ruth, there is no membership fees, match submission fees, or score submission fees. 100% free to the shooter and the club. So this is 100% volunteer ran. We're not charging a dime. The only thing we charge for is the championship match. And obviously, if you go to a match, the match director is charging money for the match, but that's not going to us. So.
So if somebody wanted to get their club in there, they just reach out to y'all, or is there an
Yep.
application on the website, or
There used to be until good old people on the website spam things, and so now there's an email. Just email me Shane at pro406.com, and then I'll send you the link from there. Because yeah, we got like 300 submissions in one day from like Russian troll farms. It's like, cool, thanks guys, appreciate it. It's like, yeah, don't know, none of the information was legible, don't know what they're saying, but apparently we had a big influx in Russia that wanted to join. So
well, cool.
yeah.
So we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you may have in the comment section of the video. We'll ask it live on air. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter's Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever, and we usually upload to all of the podcast apps the night after the show. Then everything eventually ends up on the Shooter's Mindset YouTube page as well. So that's a great place to go look and catch up on past episodes.
So I get that the clubs submit their scores and then there's a championship. So tell us a little bit about, well, not a little bit, tell us a lot about championship, because that's really going to be a fun event. Like, how do shooters qualify for it? Where is it? When is it? How much does it cost? How many
Okay.
stages? How many rounds? Give us all the details.
So this year, the Pro Series Championship or PRO Series Championship is going to be in Billings, Montana again. We had it there last year. We're having it here again. At the time, before the season started, Billings was kind of the central point. Now, with all the Minnesota clubs, it's no longer a central point. So next year, it won't be here. We'll try to pick somewhere more central, maybe South Dakota, maybe someone more regional or more in the center of the map. So it's in Billings, Montana this year. It is going to be shooting days July 13th and July 14th, check in July 12th, so 12th through the 14th weekend. Round count hasn't been decided yet. The match director for that is actually myself and Brody Hetland. So we're both doing the course of fire for that. Maybe, yeah, maybe Minnesota one day, Eric. There is a lot of Minnesota clubs now. We haven't come out with the price yet. It kind of depends. Kind of talked about this a lot of match directors before. If we see a really big high demand for the match, we'll actually lower the cost because at the end of the day, we're trying to break even. So if there's a huge demand for it, we'll kind of keep it lower. If there isn't, we'll increase it to pay for the food and stuff. Again, we're basically our match fee every year is just to break even or pretty close to that. So we haven't come out the match fee yet. It's gonna be 2 days. It's 200 shooters, 20 stages. Probably gonna shoot like 12 to 14 on the first day since it is north. We're in Montana, so sunset's really late here in the summertime. To qualify, so that's kind of changed over the years. This year's rules, how qualifying works is You have to finish, or the first round invites will be coming out here in April. Then we will go look on our website at every single club's points table. So we have a points table for every club. We'll pick the top three overall at every club, top youth, top senior, and top lady. All get a direct invite. The reason why we do that, so we have something called the traveling trophy. So what also makes our series a little different is we have a traveling trophy that, so when you go to a match, you're an individual. In our series, you are an individual as well. You're competing for trophies, prizes, whatever. But you are also representing your home club. So whatever club you shoot the most matches for, you're representing them in this traveling trophy race. And essentially, it's a, your score at the championship match, depending on where you finish in your classification, it rewards your club like a gold medal style points. So, you know, first place gets X amount, so on and so forth. So the traveling trophy, Billings has had it strong for 3 years. We've been dominating. It's been great. We finally lost it last year to Jason Edved's club in Mitchell, South Dakota by a point. It's pretty bummed. We finally lost it. We still have, us in Montana have a Montana traveling trophy. So we do have our Montana one still in Billings. But we lost the traveling trophy. Jason has a flag very similar to this one in his, at his club in Mitchell, South Dakota now, that is the Pro Series logo with all of the winners previously on it as plaques on it. So I'm mad. I want that back. I'm pretty mad that we lost that. But so that's why we invite the top three overall, top youth, top lady, top senior from each club first. So then it is a fair representation where everyone from each club is getting a chance to represent their club. So those are the numbers that come in first. After that, invites will open up to every single shooter who is a member of the series and has shot four or more matches. So basically it opens blanket invite. And yeah, those typically go out end of April.
So to get the club winner, is it just that top three, top junior, top senior, top lady? Like, say that Greg's club had sent their people, and then at the last minute, I decided to go, but I wasn't the top female. But then when I still represent there, her. I still represent them.
Yep.
Do y'all just take an average of their scores, or
So it's you have to podium in your class essentially, or we opened up to the top. I think it's top five or top. I think it's top five if I look at my rules correctly, but yeah, so top five in each class. So top five in youth, top five in ladies, senior, and then we have four classes in our classification system. We have something called the pro class, which is the highest, and then we have A, B, and C. So yeah, we break it up that way, and then you, depending on those top five positions, you award your club X amount of points, and then at the end, that's the club that gets the traveling trophy. So it's a little different. It makes, in my opinion, like as a match director, I've been to matches where like the match director is making a course of fire to really like, I wouldn't say like for them to win, but really try to like make a really hard course of fire. And again, I want our match directors to do the same thing, but also like teach the shooters who are newer and coach them and help them, not just try to beat them. Because the whole point is too, when you're the championship, but you're now a team. So if you just went to every, you went to your hosted your matches and beat everyone the whole time, cool. Your shooters never grew as shooters. They didn't learn how to do something maybe, or they haven't really improved. They're going to come to championship, not perform well, and you just hurt yourself. So it is an individual sport, but there is a team aspect of it as well.
Yep. I love that about it.
Yeah. Like when we went to Italy, that was one of the coolest things. You know, everybody became best friends by the end of that match. You know, like there were people from, I saw one of the U.S. shooters get a call missed, and like three to four different countries were screaming at the RO.
Yeah. That's the community right there.
But it was also cool seeing, you know, we were back at the house at night, and, you know, there was a really hard ladder style stage, and, you know, all the guys from the team were out back on a ladder and, you know, just planning it and trying to figure out what they were going to do, you know, watching everybody work together, because the goal is, you know, despite us being friendly precision rifle shooters where we just want everybody to have a fair fun time, but also it's like, all right, we're a team, we're going to work together, and it'll be cool to see clubs working together that way too.
Oh yeah. I think that's honestly one of the coolest things. And like, if you go to our Facebook, we, I don't know if it's on there still, but we have posted pictures from the championship. And one thing is we give every single match director who comes to the championship and every single, or regardless, every single person that comes to the championship, we get a banner made of their club logo. So if you go to our website, it's really cool. Every club gets to design their own logo. It's pretty creative. Some people have gone crazy colors now. It's gone from original kind of like this to maybe like ours is green here in Billings to now, I mean, there's a club in Minnesota that went like Barney purple and green. We have one in North Dakota that did like full on wood grain. Like people are going all out with their, yeah. South Dakota has some crazy ones, red, white, and blue. So it's really cool to see all these different logos, but the cool part is when you come to championship. Yeah. And when you come to the championship, we have a banner for every club to take home for anyone who comes from that club. Just take home the banner. They can take a picture in front of it with their team or their club. And it's just a really cool aspect because at the end of the day, we are, you know, coming to a championship match, especially like going to NRL Nationals or PRS Nationals, you know people, you meet people, you've met them from all the country. But if you're shooting it with regular or shooting a monthly match with them regularly, you kind of have a little bit better connection with them. So it's kind of cool to be as a team with them. Like, hey, I'm going to Nationals, I'm competing, but I'm also... I want you to do good. I want all of us to do good, you know? So it's a cool feeling.
Yeah, I love the team aspect. Hey, when we were in Italy, the team even helped get a car out of the mud that was stuck.
That actually happened at our championship last year too. Jason Edvick got stuck in a field, drove his whole trailer into a field and got stuck. We had terrible, like the worst rainstorm our area's had in a very long time. The day before the championship, I thought the championship was going to be ruined last year. If you saw me on check-in day at the championship, Billy, the pro or PRO championship, I was completely drenched. I had zip off pants, so I was just down to shorts. I was drenched. I had waterproof boots the water went down into, and I was just sitting there like, get me out of here. I didn't want to be here. It was miserable. But yeah, no, we've had to pull some couple people out of some ditches and stuff as well from crazy weather. So
I'm not gonna lie, I am so surprised I didn't have to pull anybody out of the mud this weekend at the NPA match. Where it's at, it's, you know, 15 minutes down dirt roads.
Yep.
And, you know, for the most part, you know, you pull up to a match and, you know, you got a bunch of pickup trucks, some Jeeps, some SUVs. But then there's always that guy that like flew in and got like the rental that is very much not made for it. You know, even you got Subarus out there, like some little CRVs. I was behind one of my friends in a Dodge Charger.
Two-wheel drive. How'd that work out?
Well, most of the car made it out. There's one part that was hanging down, scratching on the street when he left, but you know.
I happen to know a shooter that went to the match in, I think it was Hurricane or St. George for the NRLX match this year, and had a rental car, and may have been the same person who got stuck at Nationals as well, or the Pro Series Nationals or PRO Series Nationals. And definitely had a rental car going backcountry to find this match, and may have lost the bottom of his car. I mean, hypothetical, not going to confirm anything here.
Oh, well, I mean, you know what they say, you know, what's the most capable off-road vehicle in the world?
A rental.
Yeah. Just get the U-Haul pickup.
There we go.
So while we're talking about the championship, I have one more question. So y'all are outlaw, so you don't really put restrictions on the individual clubs. So how do you decide what flavor of match to make the championship, right? Because there's different, there's field
style 100%.
Matches, there's positional heavy matches, there, you know, what distance and do you advertise so that the clubs know, like, hey, this match will have a target at, you know, 250 or whatever the farthest is. Tell us a little bit about kind of what type of match it is.
So exactly. So we leave it up to the match director's discretion of how they're going to host the match. Again, the cool part about that is every match director has a different style, or at least for the most part. I mean, I've said this tons of times. You go to a Ruth and Justin match, you're going to be it's going to mess with your brain. All right. It is a mental stressor match. It is a really fun match. You go to like a Utah style match or a Paul Dallin match, you're getting extremely high round counts. You know, you kind of go over the country and have these different styles. So that is always up to the match director. So when we post to the where the championship is and who the match director is, most shooters will try to see what that style of match is going to be. We do post beforehand, like, hey, it's going to be this many rounds, or, you know, maximum targeting distance is this. We try not to go too far. I know a lot of our clubs can't go past 100, or maybe 100's the farthest, maybe 200. So when we originally were smaller, when all the clubs could go long distance, we did have like a 300-yard target. I think this year we're probably going to keep everything sub 250, just because that's kind of getting to the point where most clubs now can shoot to 200 for the most part. So we try to make it where it is a championship match. It's going to be a little harder, but we're not going to do something that like a club can't do. Same thing. We don't do like gimmicky props. Everything is going to be sturdy, buildable, practicable, repeatable. You know, you're not going to be bouncing on a trampoline, taking a shot. Everything's going to be sturdy. And that's the whole point of this match, to make a show, or make it where you could have a barricade like this in your house or at the range wherever. And if you can practice every position on this thing, almost every single prop you'll shoot off of will be essentially a good, you can practice essentially at your house or at the range and come the championship and be ready for it. So.
Very cool.
So when you're hosting big matches, you know, really the only way to make these things happen, there's none of us can afford to shoot a match that doesn't have some sponsorship.
Oh yeah.
Unless you just have like somebody that loves spending money as a match director and like has like millions.
I wish.
Yeah, that'd be great. Like I'd love to do it, you know, drop down, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and invite 200 of my closest pals to come out and shoot for the weekend with like gourmet catering. Like that'd be awesome. But
oh.
I can't do that. So who's sponsoring this year's championship? Who's your title sponsor?
So we are happy to announce that Leupold is coming back as our title sponsor for the 2023-2024 season. They were our title sponsor last year. They've been amazing. This year they're coming back. We, especially with, I know you guys went to SHOT Show, their Mark IVs are like perfect for the Rimfire stuff. So I'm very excited to see that. And we do analytics every year for our matches, and you know, you haven't seen a whole lot of Leupold products, at least in the Rimfire sport. Now with that Mark IV being out, I'm very excited to see it being more used or more common in the sport. Price point wise, everything was just awesome. So I'm really excited and I'm really happy they're sponsoring us and actually have a product that's really geared toward Rimfire. So, or really, you know, benefits from Rimfire Shooter. So yep, Leupold is our title sponsor again this year. Thank you to them. We're more than generous last year and are more than generous this year. I couldn't ask for any. I mean, they're amazing. They're awesome. On top of that, I mean, we have a long list, but just name some of the big ones. I mean, of course, MDT has been a sponsor since we started in 2020. Proof, Voodoo is back. Rimex is back. Modern Day Sniper. Shooting Classes is back. Hawkins, Valcourtson, XLR, KRG. I mean, Vortex, it just goes down the list. I mean, there's a lot. So closer to the match, we start posting on our Facebook page and Facebook groups, kind of sponsor announcements, but just to name some of them. That is the list we have. Last year, we had like $80,000 in prizes. And not even like talking swag, like genuine prizes. Everyone, we had 110 shooters last year. Everyone walked the prize table twice and we still had leftovers. Like it was ridiculous. I was so blown away in how much product. My girlfriend hated me. We had a whole extra guest room at our old apartment that was just full of
you
product.
Make it through it.
Oh yeah, Tom came over and was just like, yeah, it was swag and products. I mean, if someone robbed us, it would have been bad. Like it was a lot of stuff. It was crazy. This year we have a house now and everything's nice, but
downstairs.
Yeah, it was absolutely crazy, the support from our sponsors, and I cannot thank them enough. You know, I reach out to all of them after the matches and give them updates and send them analytics stuff, and it just this sport is. And the sponsors in this sport are just so awesome. I can't thank them enough. So
it's a hard belief that they're stepping up for a Rimfire sport more than anything else. Mm-hmm. The support is phenomenal. It truly is. And you know, Shane's heard me say this before, all the credit goes to him, reaching out to everybody, making these relationships, making these contacts with the people, developing those relationships and pushing this sport to where we started with three clubs. Look where we're at now. 100% of this goes to Shane, and I don't know how he does it. I don't have the time. He does it.
I'm an IT guy. I spend a lot of time on a computer, so I send a lot of emails. But actually, to another thing about our championship match. So we do this across the series, which kind of goes off the team aspect as well about how you're a team. We do another thing at our championship match we've done every year where we have something called the Sportsman of the Year Award and Youth Sportsman of the Year Award. So every year, a group of sponsors give us a full build rifle. Voodoo is in charge of one of them and Remix is the other one. And both of them are kitted out. MDT, Manners, McMillan has jumped into it before. Leupold, Vortex. I mean, down the list. I mean, Trigger Tech, Timney. I mean, these rifles are full built, bipod to trigger to everything. And we've given away each year, and it is awesome to see. You know, it's not go doesn't go to the best shooter. It's 100% voted upon by the match directors and the ROs of the championship and shooters. It is is just awesome. It is really cool to give these rifles out to people who are really deserving of it. Maybe come out all the time and, you know, don't have the best rifle, but it's really, you know, important to the match, how the match flow is running, or just putting on the match or whatever. So we do that every year. And again, we're doing that again this year, and it's awesome. It's a really cool thing to be able to give away two full custom rifles to people who definitely could use them. So.
Yep. So that kind of rolls right into what my next question is going to be, which was, what do you think the key to growth in our sport is? And I think things like that, I don't think that more people are going to start shooting our sport when, you know, the top time on the PRS barricade goes from 36 seconds to 32 seconds.
Yeah.
Or when, you know, somebody cleans the third day of AG Cup, you know, all of those are awesome things, but I don't think those are what's going to help grow our sport. I think that the people like yourself, like Ruth, the people that are, you know, either at y'all's level or even just, you know, the new guy, you know, I have so many new shooters that just show up and like by their second match, they are one of my biggest assets because they're excited. They want to help. They want to get involved. You know, they may not even be able to get all 10 rounds off in 2 minutes at an NRL 22 stage, but by God, they know how to run that tablet. They know how to say, hey, you're next. Come on. You know, they'll be the first person to help you when, you know, your gun's down. And they're the people that make the shooters that come out to the match say, wow, this match is full of amazing people. Then I think that by supporting amazing people like that and encouraging that kind of behavior, that's one of the best ways that we can grow our sport. What do y'all think on that?
I totally agree with you. I actually don't even think it's really the series that are growing these sports. I think it's the community and the shooters itself. Because like you said, I mean, like you're talking about the PRS barricade. So at Nationals, the NRL Nationals this year, I was doing terrible. And Jason Juris was an RO. And I was shooting the time barricade out. Oh, he's awesome. Jason's amazing. And I was shooting the stage, and I'm not going to win at all. And I get to my last shot, and I kind of sit there and turn away from my rifle. My squad's already walked to the next stage. I'm like, Jason, I just need a hug, man. Like, this has been a rough day. So I finished the shot, put the rifle down. Jason's like, give me a hug. My squad's like, hurry up. I'm like, no, I just need this. There's people like Jason and like certain ROs and match directors that really just make this sport. And it's an awesome, awesome experience. This community is just awesome. It's, you know, it's just unbelievable what the sport is doing. So,
yep. I was shooting in Great Falls this past Sunday, and it was an indoor match, 22 indoor match. And one of my local shooters from Lewistown was up there as well, Neil Passo. I was like, I'm just shooting like crap. I'm just not with it. You need a hug. Come here. Give me a hug. Next stage, you cleared. I was like, there you go. That's all you needed, man. The camaraderie is great. We had four new shooters and two youth shooters. It was awesome.
I've had some amazing laughs in the sport and just had matches in general. I remember going to a Ruth and Justin summer match, and Dirk was at a match or at the match, and he was wearing a kilt. And the whole time everyone's like, oh gosh, you're flagging everyone, man. What are you doing? You know, put your skirt, your kilt down. Just experiences like that have just made this sport. Like it's such a fun time.
Tanner's mom is trapped, was traumatized by my kilt.
Yes, you're right. You're a kilt wearer as well. I forgot about that. Oh, we need to ban kilts. I'm tired of it.
The wind was terrible, right up the kilt on a prone stage. It was great. And I didn't stop to put it down. No.
Yeah, your reaction, Jennifer, is exactly mine. Same thing. Just, yeah.
I'm thinking, like,
is the word you're looking for.
I wear skirts. I know what happens when it's windy or you try and lay prone or, you know?
You would think he would know. You think he would know? Yeah.
Oh, I knew.
He doesn't care.
Yeah, no care.
It gets a little brisk.
He gets a nice breeze.
Oh, it wasn't bad. Yeah. It was refreshing.
That is funny. So where do y'all see the sport in 5 years? How much do you think the sport in general and the pro series?
The sport in general, you know, the Rimfire series continues to grow regardless of what platform it's on. It's one of the easiest one for most people to get in, especially like with us. For the pro series, I'd like to see all the way down in Florida and Texas. Why? Because we're on the northern side of the state, we're on the southern side of the state. Getting the southern side of the state would be cool. On the eastern and western as well. We're pushing on the east side. We need to move a little bit more to the west side, but that's the growth sequence I would like to see. Shane, on the other hand,
I do all the memberships and all the data entry. I do would like to see the PRO series grow. We've always kind of grown fast, but like
sporadically.
When we first started, we had someone reach out from New York, and I was like, okay, hold on, we're just in Montana, South Dakota. Like, that's just way too far away at this given time to join. So we've slowly grown state by state. I think we're getting to a point where we could start looking at maybe jumping quite a little bit distance away and starting some clubs or having clubs join from other areas. We've kind of our scoring system was not automated for the longest time, and that sucked. So now with an automated scoring system, it has made things a lot easier. I think the same thing with Tom, just growing more and more. I would love to see like a Canada club. I've seen the NRL Canada series blowing up. I think that's amazing. I met so many people from all over the world from NRL Nationals. I think it'd be cool to have a club somewhere else. It's
another country.
Oh, yeah. I think that's just awesome. I met some funny Aussies and New Zealanders, and they're just great people. So yeah, more people, man. I mean, let's keep doing what's to do. We're keep growing, essentially.
I think there's a lot of potential to grow it internationally. A lot of those countries really want to get into it and do more. And they're just, you know, the IPRF is helping with that because some of the countries, they can't have a league unless it's, you know, with a federation. And so I think that's helping tremendously.
I 100% agree. I think that's awesome. Especially you guys, like your coverage. I think, again, your coverage of Worlds was huge as well. I mean, I know you guys have covered a lot of Centerfire stuff and AG Cup, but just covering the Rimfire Worlds, the first ever Rimfire Worlds, I think that was a huge eye-opener for a lot of people. I mean, the amount of people I even just directed was like, hey, like, see what this sport has become. It is not a world, you know, it's in the eyes of the world right now. I mean, I think that's just amazing. So yeah, thank you guys for doing that. That was awesome. It gave me a lot to watch, and I think it was amazing watching a lot of good of my friends shooting out there. So again, congrats to Tyler for getting play at podium at Worlds. He's in here. So
what lives do we have? Do we have live questions?
Let's see. Let me look over here. Yeah, Tyler did show up fashionably late. As Eric noted,
normal. A lot of kilt talk I've seen in the comments. A lot of kilt talk.
Let's see. There's lots of comments in there. I don't think anything really relevant at this point. Me and Eric have decided that Toyota life is the only life.
Someone said add a rule. Eric said add a rule to the series, basically making it so you have to wear shorts under a kilt.
That ruins the entire point.
No one wants to see that.
Close your eyes.
I'm just thinking that that you're in Montana and not wearing anything under it. I'm in South Carolina and I wear leggings under just about every skirt I wear because I get cold.
Oh, we're used to the cold. It's like 30 degrees. I'm in shorts and flip-flops. It's great.
And a hoodie.
Yeah, in a hoodie.
Crazy. What you got, Greg? Anything, or is it?
I think we're good over on the live side.
All right.
I do want to say too, if you don't mind, so the people, like, if anyone is interested in joining as a club, on top of that, you can join as a club. You also don't have to join as a club. You can join as an individual event. So we do allow like big matches to join as individual events. So there's quite a bit of NRLX matches. There's some PRS matches that have joined over the years that have hosted one-off matches that have double dipped. Actually, Eric and Tyler are hosting a two-day world qualifier, US team qualifier, and NRLX match. So that's going to double dip for the PRO series as well. Actually, triple dip, because you're talking PRO series, NRL, and USA qualifying. So there's a lot of matches in the series that you can find big matches if to go to. And on top of that, there's a lot of small monthly stuff. So kind of caters to everyone, in my opinion. Like, you have the monthly guys and you have the big matches. So you can basically find a match from Idaho to Minnesota down that there'll be a PRO series match somewhere, or at least double dipping or submitting scores or something like that. So
I'm going to ask Greg, because he always handles all this, to put it in the comments somewhere or the description of the video. But for anybody, we do podcast a lot and a lot of people listen to us. So for anybody that's riding in the car and can't look at it, can you tell everyone what your website is, and so they know how to go? And
yeah, so our website's just precisionrimfireoutlaws.com. We also own a lot of domains for the website, so if you're in Montana, it's just pro406.com. Pretty much any area code besides, I think, like the North Dakota one, so any of the series, if you look at our club badges, it's like says pro and then whatever area code they are. We almost own like all of those domains. I'm a big IT tech nerd, so I bought a lot of domains. I tried to buy North Dakota's, and it's owned by some Russian company. So that's the only one I don't have. Yeah, it's like some cleaning company in Russia. I'm like, why?
That must be the ones that were spamming the website.
I think that's what it was. I agree. So yeah, basically precisionrimfireoutlaws.com is the easiest way, unless you just type in, you know, one of the
pro406.com.
Yep, or whatever area code, pro, whatever area code you are, there the club is at. So, yes, Eric, I am going to be at the Polar Vortex. So, yes, you can hang out with me there as well. So,
all right. Well, I think that we can wind it down to shout outs. And we usually start with Greg. We'll let you go first.
I guess I can't complain and say, why don't we start with Corey this time, huh? All right. Well, I want to shout out Hunters HD Gold for having like the best things to help my blind self see on the range. Wore those all weekend out at the MPA match. PDC Custom, most beautiful rifle chassis known to man right there. And you know, you can never go wrong with a Vortex on top. I'm gonna get good at this point behind my head thing one day.
I actually want to second your Hunter's Gold comment. I won a pair of those Hunter Gold glasses on your guys' podcast when he was on there. They're awesome. So that was awesome. I can't believe I've never won a raffle or a random drawing in my life. So that was amazing. And on top of that, they're amazing product. So yeah, big shout out to Hunter's Gold. They're cool. I mean, I love them. I got the blue tint ones for work and they were great for the range. So they're awesome. That's a cool company.
It is a cool company. We like their stuff.
Yep, I love them.
All right, we'll go Tom. What shout outs do you
have? I really don't have a lot of shout outs to do. My biggest one is the Pro 406, the Pro Series. When he was talking about that, the rifle that we give away, some of them, I won one of those. I won Match Director Year and Sportsmanship of the Year. That floored me. It really did. So this Pro Series, I never would have bought a rifle like this for me. I was a match director that did everything for the shooters. I could have cared less. I didn't even shoot the match that I won the rifle in. My main focus was putting on the best match I could for the shooters there. And still, to this day, it's all about the shooters. So my shout-out is going to be to the Pro 46 Pro Series. Shane, all of us have done the best job we can to promote it and make it the best event that every shooter goes to. And all the sponsors that support it, you're awesome. Thank you. You're phenomenal. Mine was a Remix, Voodoo Barrel, or no, I'm sorry, Remix Proof Barrel, MDT Chassis, Vortex Go, Fix and Anti Trigger. Yeah, it was phenomenal. It still is. I took a match this past weekend with it. Thank you.
Yeah, you won that with like overwhelmingly support too. Like it wasn't even a close vote. Like almost every match director in the whole series voted for you. It was awesome. And
I
it was really
voted
cool.
For somebody else.
I know. And it was actually pretty crazy. I it was a really cool moment when you won that. And we saw some tears. I did see some tears come from you. So that was a really cool
experience. I own it.
Feeling. So
all right. How about you, Shane?
I guess just shout out all the shooters and the match directors. I mean, without the community, this series wouldn't be a thing. I think it's amazing just the amount of support the series has had over the last couple of years and how fast it's growing. Cody just hopped in here. He's an Iowa match director. There are a couple clubs joining from Iowa. I mean, it's just crazy how fast this is growing and the shooting sport in general, or the shooting sport is just growing so fast. So big shout out to that. On top of that, again, a big shout out to Leupold for being our title sponsor for the last 2 years. I mean, that's just, they're amazing and they've hooked it up and blown it out of the water. So they've done an amazing job. And thank you to all of our other sponsors, Voodoo, Remix, you know, Vortex, MDT. I could go down the list, but thank you to all you guys. Oh, big time. Bergara. I mean, all of the sponsors have been amazing over the years. So just awesome. And yeah, someone just commented the ROs. ROs are huge. Without good ROs, all these matches wouldn't work. So thank you to the ROs, but a big, big thank you to the shooters. Honestly, that's why we do this. I just want to keep this sport going and growing and going. So, yeah.
Right. All right. And for me, I just want to shout out both of you for all that you do for the community and for creating the series and another outlet to go and have a series championship to get everyone together to help grow our sport. I love the team aspect of it, that the club gets to go and get their bragging rights for a year. You know, I think I've always loved those, like they have the border wars.
Yep.
I love that because I think it's very fun and to have the camaraderie of, you know, shooting together and working towards a goal together. So I really love that aspect of it. I think it's very fun. So
yeah, Billings is going to get that traveling trophy back this year. Okay, just wait. We're reclaiming our throne. We've had it for years. We finally lost it. We're getting it back. It's going to be a redemption year for us.
That's hilarious. Better watch out.
Yeah, with that being said, with all the Minnesota clubs joining, holy cow, there's a lot of good shooters. When I see like Justin Carbone and Jason Anderson, Tyler Royce all sign up for the series, I'm like, okay, this is going to get tough. This is going to get tough. So,
but that's when it gets fun, is when it gets sporty in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of dark horses coming in that you don't know who's going to shake it up. And
oh, yeah.
That's what makes it fun. So,
and hopefully, hopefully I can finally shoot a championship. I've never shot one of them. I've hosted or been like helping run them each one. So next year I've made a point that I will not be the match director for the championship. It will be somewhere else. So I hope we find a really good match director for next year, because I want to shoot one. I've never shot one. I've never got to represent my club. So.
He has spoken.
Yes.
All right. And I do want to thank you both for spending, you know, a couple hours on Tuesday evening with us. I know everyone is always busy and y'all probably have like snow to shovel and stuff.
Not currently. We've had a really easy winter, to be honest, but normally there is snow on the ground this time of year. So.
Well, we appreciate you coming on and talking with us, and everybody check out their website, go check out their series. And, you know, get your club to join if y'all want to. So it's a good deal for all involved and another fun match to go and kind of see how you level out against everybody.
Thank you for having us. Really appreciate it.
No problem. We enjoyed it. All right. With that, it's going to be a wrap for episode 436. And we will see everyone next time.